one of the things that I've thought about is that in being what they call a black man in America, black men have a tendency to go up to each other and they call it giving each other dap. They have a handshake that they do, and sometimes they'll pat each other on the back and say, "What's up, brother?" Or, "What's up, dog?" Or, you know, and you would think that they love each other so much because all of the symbols are there. The symbols of the word brother, which is a familial term. The rubbing of the hands and shaking the hands together and giving each other a half hug on the back. You would think that these people are so close together that they would not hurt one another. And the symbolism sticks out for the world to see. But then somebody turns on the TV at night and the same ones many times that have given each other what they call dap or the handshake maybe have shot someone in a rage. Broken into somebody's house that you no doubt last week was patting on the back, trying to take his wife. And when you see something like that, you see symbolism over substance. Well, that's one thing to see and have a problem with. There's another thing that you can see people often that will go and they'll sing, "Oh, Jesus," and they'll sway to the music, and they'll wave their hand in the air, and they'll make their fold their lips over their teeth, and they'll make it move real fast, but they won't say it. And you think with all their heart they love God, and they'll leave out of that place often and go and mistreat somebody. They'll lie to somebody, beat someone out of their money. But because they've gone there and made that face and gave money, they feel all is right with God. I say the symbol is there, but the substance is lacking. In this passage, we're going to see the symbol, and we're going to see the substance. We're going to see the symbol made as if it is the substance. And we're going to see how the substance actually carries the true symbol. So Theophilus has got a lot to look at in this passage here tonight. And I just have a slight title for this little bit, this little pericope. 13th chapter, Luke, verses 10 through 18. 8 verses. But it's real powerful. Now, my subject is, the master wants to free those who are bound. Well, I could give another introduction because there's just so much in there. I'd just rather let Ann just start reading. And let's just go ahead and get some of this substance. Dree did such a good job getting me fired up and kicking. I just throw the volleyball in here or the soccer ball. Let me kick on a little while. Go ahead, Andrina.
Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman who had had a disability for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability."
Freed.
And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God.
Now, in looking at this passage, we've already seen Jesus teach that just because something bad happens to somebody, that doesn't mean that they're the worst sinners. We've already seen in this passage that repentance must take place, or there's a time for a cutoff. Then Luke sandwiches in that kind of teaching this. Well, the Bible says that he was teaching in the synagogues on a religious high day, Sabbath, day of rest, day of coming together, day that they would come together and hear about God's word. Now, when an individual usually comes to hear about God's word, often they would want to learn something, they want to hear something sometimes to motivate them, to instruct them, or to get hopes that one day the Messiah would come. Yes, they would. Now, in this particular situation, they was there, and a woman came in which it had a spirit of weakness, a spirit of infirmity, a spirit that had been on her for 18 years. 18 years. Sometimes I might have a back problem 2 or 3 days, and I look back on the days when I didn't have any, and I'm grateful. Some that are listening to me tonight have had issues with back, hip, Crohn, and cancer or whatever for days, months, and sometimes years. Let's visualize this now. Here's a woman with infirmity, with a weakness that has got her bowed down, that has her weak, and has been giving her problems for 18 years, and the scripture says it has something to do with something that's satanic. But Jesus looked upon this woman and had compassion, knowing where he was, knowing what was going on, and knowing how people saw that this is the place to hear about God's word, to receive instructions about God's word. Here is the place to see not only what the word said, but to see it enacted. And he calls her to him. Understand what I'm saying, Andrina? When he calls her to him, if nobody really saw her to start with, when he calls her to him, they see her. They get to see her walk. They get to see her in pain. They get to see how wicked this thing has made her. They get the opportunity, if they see this, to no doubt maybe want to help her. Well, when she couldn't even lift herself up because it was so bad, and he called her, he says, "Woman, woman, thou art loosed from your infirmity, the thing that has you bound, the thing that's holding you back, the thing that's keeping you from being able to lift up, the thing that's being able to keep you from doing what you need to do, the thing that you have been bothered with this long a time, this long, drawn out time. I say it's time for it to let you go." And I'm not telling you that I'm getting ready to write a book and say, "Woman, thou art loose," so that women can feel like that everything that goes on their way is about woman, woman, woman. I'm saying it's deeper than about woman, woman, woman. I'm saying it's about a master that comes to set the captive free, that comes to set free them that are bound, not just those that are bound insofar as Israel being bound to Rome, but those of us that are bound to sin. But he shows his power to be able to set those free from sin by showing, "I can set you free from an ailment that has hampered your life that was satanically induced." The Bible says he laid hands on her in the synagogue, in the place where religious stuff was supposed to take place, where people were supposed to learn about God, and said, "Immediately, she was made straight." And Andrina, she glorified God. Now tell me this, unless you super spiritual, to tell me that if God set you free, you would not glorify God more than you would if you were singing a song. You've been bound this long, and God's power has set you free. She glorified God. God is in here receiving glory, honor, true praise. This should be a time of clapping and rejoicing. If those that saw her walk up there, knowing that she was bound like this, this should have been a time of rejoicing. And you did this in our midst. If you can do this for somebody that's been bound for 18 years, what can you do for the rest of us? Well, the Bible says she glorified God, but then it goes to verse 14. Verse 14 says, and what?
The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation.
Just wait. Read that again. I might not have heard that correctly.
The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation.
Why?
Because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. and said unto the people,
the ruler of the religious thing, the religious place, what things was happening, instead of recognizing the moment, instead of seeing what God had placed right there for them to see, instead of this man saying, look at what a mighty thing God has graced our synagogue with. Look at how God has allowed us to see his power. Look at what God has done. Give God a praise. Give God glory. Let's magnify his name together. God has visited his children. Instead of him seeing. Remember that we just got to read about they could recognize the signs of the sky. This is in the same passage. Mm-hmm. Right? I think it was chapter 12. But they could not discern the signs of the time. Here, God had done this for this woman. And he answered with indignation, you don't do this in my synagogue. You don't upstage me in my synagogue. You come up here with your crippled self walking around, getting all the attention up here. And then you come to him, making the whole thing about you. And he answered with indignation. You know, if you read that word indignation, it's bad enough by itself, just in English. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's listen.
Aganato.
Did you hear him say aganatayo? Do I need to turn up a little bit? Listen.
Aganato.
Aganatayo. What does that word mean? It means to be aroused and indignant, to be against something that is assumed to be wrong, to be angry. The ruler of this synagogue was angry. What is he saying? I don't like you doing things your way, Jesus. In here. This is actually supposed to be your house. It's supposed to be the house of prayer. It's supposed to be the place where healing takes place. It's supposed to be the place where people learn about God and what God does and how God sets free those that are captive. But not in here. Why? Because we have a procedure.
Mm.
And the procedure should always override the spirit.
Mm.
Because I can control procedure.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't control what God does. So here, he gets up indignant. And said, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. Now, and how is he going to tell what's supposed to be 18 years and this woman has gotten no relief from you all, and then you're going to talk about when things are supposed to be, and you miss the visitation of God.
Mm.
But you're a ruler. Mm. What kind of a ruler? You are definitely one of the blind that will lead somebody into a ditch. And I'm telling you, you're just like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They led some in a ditch, and they swole, and they burn in hell right this minute. And read some more of the Word of God, where we start where it talked about the indignation.
Because and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day.
Now, here's the question that needs to be answered. This is what Theophilus would need to roll in his mind. Is there any way that you believe that if that ruler of the synagogue had been bound for 18 years, he would have said, no, no, let me go back to my bondage. I don't suppose to be healed on the Sabbath day. Or if it was his child. How is it that he would have dealt with this woman in this? Obviously, it wouldn't have been to free her.
Mm.
Obviously, he would allow her to stay in that state. But what about if it was him? What about if it was his family? When it is us that's delivered from something that we have going on with us, is there not joy? Is there not something inside of us to be like the master that we find joy in releasing those that are bound? Help me, Jesus, please. Read, Ann.
The Lord then answered him.
The man is really saying to Jesus, I don't like the way you do things. I don't like what you're doing. I don't appreciate her being here doing this situation like this. I don't like it. I don't appreciate it. I wouldn't have done it this way at all. There's time and a place for that. But Jesus' actions have said, this is the time and this is the place. Now, the man missed his opportunity, and now he has dealt with Jesus and had something to say in front of everybody. Does Jesus let it go? Or does Jesus deal with it immediately? Let's see what the next verse say.
The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?
And Jesus said, you hypocrite, you are the great pretender. You should stand up and sing in front of a group. Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. You are a hypocrite. I know that you would love if it were you to be healed on this day. I know if it was someone in your family you would want them to be set free on this day. How do I know it? Because if it was your ox, just your ox, or your ass, your beast of burden, you would lead it from the stall just so it wouldn't be thirsty. Just so it wouldn't be thirsty. So that it could be watered. Yet with this type of attitude, and this is what you do for animals, how much more is what he's saying? Should this daughter of Abraham, that's in pain, that's bound, and bound not only by Satan and what's going on, but by the way that you all conduct your religious activities, because you are the ruler, and if you have something to do with it, you let her go on and on with this. How much more should a daughter of Abraham that had been bound 18 years be loosed at the place where people learn about God's word, where they learn how he does stuff? Should not they be able to see a manifestation of God's word where they come together and hear about him? And you reject it, me and the work that God has done, but you would accept it if it was coming to you. The word of God said, and when he had said these things, what, Anne? Verse 17.
All his adversaries were ashamed.
Oh, what do you mean? It wasn't just the ruler of the synagogue. There were more of his enemies there. But when Jesus laid the case out there so beautifully and so eloquently, and he made the people see the picture, yes, we would. We were angry because of the procedure was not followed out this way. We were angry because she looked like she getting too much attention. We were angry because you didn't do things the way that we would normally do it. We were angry because, first of all, we don't particularly care that much for you to start with, and then you got the juice on your side. But his enemies, Ann, his enemies, his adversaries were ashamed because they knew with all their heart that they would have had a rejoicing if it had been them, if it had been someone in their family. Why do you say that, Tim? Because just the idea of giving your ox or your ass water would mean that you would go against the very thing that you said that I did wrong. All I did was lay my hand on her and say she was healed. You're going to lead a whole ox or the ass out. And the Bible said it was the shame. The word here is katoskuno. I really don't like the way these speakers sound, but katoskuno, that word means they were disappointed, they were dishonored, they were disgraced. They were disgraced right there. And it says all the people what?
Rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him.
I submit to you that Jesus hasn't changed. Do we know anyone that's bound? Do we know anybody that's bound by ailments that are physical? and don't want them to be freed? Do we know anyone that's bound that if we had the ability to free them, that we would make them wait? Do we know anyone that's bound that we need to try to bring to Jesus? That we can go outside of procedure and let's go to the spirit of the matter and see if we can help? Do we know anybody that's bound by Satan? Physically bound by Satan, and maybe we don't recognize, but bound by Satan, that we would not want that person free. Do we know anyone that's bound by Satan because of circumstances in their life and because of wickedness that has been done to them, or wickedness that has been in their life, or ungodliness that has been done in their life? And are there any of us that would not want that person freed? Is there any of us that would not rejoice and be happy? Are there some of us that would be indignant and be upset because of the procedure and because it's done around the time when we would be gathered together in God's Word? Is there any of us like the ruler? Are there any of us like those that were glorified that would have been adversaries? Or all of us like Jesus? This is our number one joy. To be able to go about, try to help set the captive free, try to send the runaway back home, make sure that people understand not only the Word of God insofar as how it comes out when we read it, but the application thereof and the manifestation thereof. Where do we fall? What about us? Which kind of person would we have been? What kind of people are we now? How does Jesus go about doing what he did? Do we see any parallels in today's life of people being bound? I submit to you, we bind each other. If you think I'm lying, you need to go read Matthew chapter 18. And look at what the Bible talks about forgiveness. You look at when the Bible talks about that man that took that guy by the throat and wouldn't forgive, and he kept him in bondage, that man was considered wicked. Are there any of us, when somebody is set free, that we feel a joy for them? Is there anybody that see that person that's bowed over, walking and in pain? Do any of us feel the pain? Well, there are some things we can do to help alleviate it and give God the glory. And there are some things we can't do, but are we trying? Well, Theophilus' job would be to learn God's word and try to do things Jesus' way. That's our job. We need to get on it. We need to move from where we are, if we're not, and get there. And if we are there, let's do more. This world is full of people bound. Many of us are bound and need to be free. That ruler of the synagogue was bound like Dree said he was crippled. If you don't think he was crippled, what kind of strength did he have to do right? None. What kind of strength did he have to see? He couldn't see. He was blind. Therefore, what could he do? Everything that he would have done was wrong because of his religious tradition. His religious tradition would have made everything in this situation wrong. He needed to see. If anything, he should have asked Jesus to loose me, free me. But he saw no need. Therefore, he didn't ask. Let's ask the Lord, are we ready to help set the captive free, to do his will, to please him? Father, thank you for your blessing and your everlasting word. It's so good, it's so precious, and it's full of strength, and it's full of power. I just ask you so much, Lord, that you would help us and that you would guide us, that we would be the kind of people that you would have us to be. Because truly, Lord, this is what we need. I'm asking this in Jesus' name. And before you turn the recording off, I want to read something for the New American Commentary. I want you to just hear a little bit of what it had to say. It's talking about something about the 13th through 1 through 9. It says, now, when the official of Judaism chose to disregard God's mercy toward people as desperate as a woman crippled for 18 years, that religion was doomed. judgment would be forthcoming. Looking for the true fruits of Old Testament, Micah 6 and 8 said he wanted justice, mercy, and humility. Jesus found instead the worst of all sins, hypocrisy. Therefore, the fig tree would be cut down. On the other hand, the loop emphasis on God's love for the outcast and the oppressed resonates throughout this passage. I just thought that, you know, I said, well, I didn't want, based upon some of the things that we have discussed lately, that I just was picking on something. It was there. That's why I picked somebody to speak first. Mm-hmm. And then I said, well, let me pull a couple of commentaries and at least see what they had to say on something like that. The last one I'm going to read, then we'll go to our discussion. Here in Clark's commentary, it says, he endeavors to prevent others from receiving the kind of help of the blessed. So Jesus said to the people, men of character, I don't want to go there, I'm going to speed it up. Let's go to 3. Jesus resorts his condemnation with particular force, thou hypocrite, to pretend zeal for God's glory, when it is only the workings of your malicious, unfeeling, uncharitable heart. Mm-hmm. Wouldest thou not even take your ass to water? Mm-hmm. And you can take that both ways as far as I'm concerned. Upon the Sabbath day. And wouldest thou deprive a daughter of Abraham, one of your own nation, mm-hmm, and religion, the mercy and goodness of God upon the Sabbath? Was not the Sabbath instituted for the benefit of men? His adversaries were ashamed. The mask of their hypocrisy, the only covering that they had, is taken away. And now they are exposed to the just censor of the multitude whom they deceived and whom their continual coming expected applause. His indignation and his uncharitable censure was not only to turn to his own confusion, but are made instruments of the edification of the multitude. They rejoiced in all of the glorious things which he did. Mm. And then I will read 2 more things on this. It says, thus the Lord, the wrath of man, shall praise thee, and the remainder thereof shall restrain. Dr. Clark said this in about, this is about the 1800s. He said, a preacher will know how to apply this subject to general edification. Mm. I'm ready for discussion now. Anybody?